So when you're playing these out of town jobs at these armories or ballrooms or whatever, did the people there know who you guys were?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I remember playing this gig up in Chisholm, Minnesota. What the hell was the name of that place? But I'll never forget that, you know, that's quite a ways from home. This guy comes up to Bill Straley and says, "I know you." And, you know, Bill used to get recognized all over the place. And I didn't realize just how popular he was.
I didn't either.
And then that people knew him.
And that's because of his prior bands he was in.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's been around for a long, long time, played in many bands, mm-hmm. and played all over the place. And so I was very surprised about that.
He had a lot of friends. A lot of people liked him. So drove me crazy, but
yeah. So you kind of touched on the these armory shows. We had this little kind of bicentennial boogie tour that we did. It was 1976. It was the bicentennial, and our drummer. His friends set up this little tour for us.
How many jobs were on the tour?
I think there was 7 or 8 jobs on there. I don't think we finished it because I think there was a money concern.
So your bicentennial tour.
Boogie tour.
Bicentennial boogie tour. That was scheduled for 7 or 8 jobs.
Yeah.
And how many did you actually play?
I think we did 4.
Do you know the dates on those and the places?
Well, we played, this was started in April, and we played in Faribault and Owatonna for 1 weekend. Then another weekend, Albert Lea in Austin.
And then it ended.
Well, yeah.
Prematurely.
Right, I think.
We don't want to hear about that.
I think the promoter ran out of money. One of those kind of deals.
I'm going to bring up something else. I don't want to be brought up.
Go ahead. Bring it up.
No.
I think the most fun we had was some of these gigs where we stayed out of town for a week, like Brainerd. We stayed up there and lived for a week and played a nice club up there. That's where
I remember that one.
Yeah, you know, Bill Stranloff recorded us. I wish we had that recording. That was fun there, and we stayed up in Virginia, Minnesota, where we played for a week.
So you like being at one place for an extended time? Is that
well,
what you're saying?
Well, it's nice when you can. You know, stay someplace for a week, and they provide you a place to stay, or you've got a place to stay, and you know, you can build up a following in one town.
Did people come out to see you? Did they dance, or did they just sit and watch, or stand and watch, or both?
Both.
Well, I think that was both. I think very much the strangest gig we ever did was New Year's Eve. We played.
Oh, yeah.
We played for Minnie Paul. We played for the deaf people. Minnie Paul is the deaf crowd, and so we're playing our standard fare, and they're out there dancing. They look like a normal crowd when they're out there dancing,
because they have the people that work with them dancing, so they follow what they're doing.
Well, that they feel the
plus
vibrations.
Right.
Yeah, and so it was just like normal, but when the song would stop. Nobody would be talking, or it'd be dead quiet. All you'd hear was shuffling feet.
Well, we can't forget that Bill heaved on stage.
Yeah.
And he
went New Year's Eve, though.
Face first onto the floor. And a couple girls ran up out by the stage over by Bill, and he was all over the floor. And these girls were bumping into me. I fall back, hit an amplifier, go to the hospital. Thanks, Bill.
Was this the New Year's Eve concert you're
talking about? Yeah, well, Bill had a lot of incidents, I think, but that was the New Year's Eve one. Yeah, can I tell that other story I told earlier?
Tell it.
Yeah, well, there was this time we were playing up in Brainerd, and we were staying at this brand new Thrifty Scott Hotel. We were the first ones to use the rooms, and Bill goes to take a shower. And there wasn't any thing to keep him from slipping in the bathtub there. So he falls out of the bathtub, breaks the toilet loose from the housing, and there's water spraying everywhere. And the owners go nuts, you know, these damn rock and rollers ruining their brand new hotel. Bill's standing there in a daze with just a towel around him going, "What happened? What happened?" You know. So, yeah, that's kind of the way it was. That's the way it was with Bill.
Who did you play with at the Paradise Ballroom?
I don't know if that was the first time we played there. We played with Kane, so that was very interesting. But then we headlined there when we played there again.
Mm-hmm. What kind of crowd was at the Paradise Bar?
Were you talking about the girls?
The Bowie girls?
The Bowie girls. I don't know who named the Bowie girls, but they would flash us from on stage there.
Well, I was looking at the ground. I didn't see
it. I think we were playing Rock and Roll Queen by Mötha Hoople, and these Bowie girls were up at the edge of the stage flashing us, and that was great fun.
What was it like playing for fraternities?
Oh, well, I played fraternities going back to when I was 14 years old.
Yeah, been playing forever.
I played frats all my life, so, you know, one's like the other, you know.
He was lucky enough to play his high school. Oh, boy, yeah. Would I have loved to do that.
Yeah, I got to play my high school. Yeah.
And your high school was what?
Frank B. Kellogg in Little Canada. Okay. I played there many times. I got to play the senior overnights and mm-hmm. pancake suppers and regular dances. And, you know, there's competition there with people like C.A. Quintet, who came from my school, too.
Hmm. Dan, what do you recall about Tramp?
I liked the band. I didn't think, now that I hear the tapes, I didn't know we were that good. Some of the stuff we're playing is just so hard.
By hard, you mean hard rock?
Hard to play.
Oh, hard as far as chord changes?
Yeah, just because of the different styles of all the songs. Just
okay.
So I like Jack. He took care of me.
So the recordings that Craig's talking about are just recordings made of the band playing live, correct?
And I practice.
Well, we practiced in the kitchen, like we said, and stuff like that. And I set up the recorder in the living room, so I would record our practices, which I'm glad we did. Mm-hmm. I do have a few recordings that I got from Bill Stranloff. He recorded us live up in Brainerd, and that was a great recording, and I wish I could get the rest of that. God knows what happened to Bill's stuff, because unfortunately Bill's not with us anymore. And that was a good recording, real good recording.
Speaking of Bill, what do you remember most about Bill Stranloff?
What do I think of Bill?
When you think of Bill right now.
Oh, what, I love the guy. He drove me crazy. He had these little quirks.
What kind of quirks?
And I went down to, my parents moved to Florida, Miami, Florida, and me and Bill went down there to see him. And my mother has never talked about anybody to me ever in her life. She came over, whispered to me, "He drives me crazy." And I never mentioned it, but he did that to me too, his little quirks. And he loved doing that. I remember going on one job, his dad drove us there. And his dad actually said, "Hey, you guys don't sound too bad." So Bill's got his window down. I'm sitting right in back of Bill. He's flicking his ashes on me. And he had his hair growing into his eyes. And he was constantly going, you know, finally his dad says, "Will you stop that?" And Bill got the biggest laugh because he knew he'd got him. You know, he just loved doing stuff like that.
Craig, when you think of Bill Stranloff, what comes to mind?
Well, Dan really nailed it when he said that Bill had these quirks, you know. And I before the band broke up, I had to record Bill just to get him talking and get his voice. So we kind of egged him on to get it. He was, you know, where he's kind of mumbling and you know, stuttering around, looking for his guitar case. "Where's my guitar case? Well, where's my guitar case?" Hey. You know, and that's, he would kind of ramble like that. And Bill was always good for a crazy laugh, you know, because like you said, he was a little off the wall.
Hey, man. So how long does Tramp last?
Well, it was a little over a year. Like I said, we got together in probably mid to late summer of 75, and we lasted till like September of 76.
Do you remember your last job?
Our last job was at St. Catharines University.
Do you have a date on that?
That was August 28th of 76. I remember that date because I remember, well, I remember that Bill got drunk on that job. And I had to get paid at the end of the gig, and Mother Superior came up to me, and it was just like something out of a Cheech and Chong record. You know, she was just pissed as hell, and I wouldn't have paid you if the check hadn't have been made out already, and I don't ever want to see you again. Get that leering guy away from me. You know, Bill was just kind of staggering around going laughing and stuff.
He didn't do drugs or drink. He couldn't handle it, so I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, he was just different. But so that was the way it ended. And after that was our last gig. I did record the band. We did go back to the kitchen again. And one of these CDs that I've made of Tramp is mostly our very last playing together at practice and stuff. So.
Okay, do you have a highlight of playing with Tramp, Dan? Anything come to mind?
When I told Bill that I have been telling people through the years that I learned how to play guitar, Bill Stranloff had taught me, and he went, "Oh God, no!" He was embarrassed. He thought that I don't think he liked my rhythm.
Are you sure?
He never said a word to me.
Yeah, the thing I think when I think about Tramp is that there was so much more that we could have done, because like I said, we all sang, we all could write songs, we all could play and stuff, but we never utilized these things and we never got that far.
I didn't even know he sang.
And it's kind of regretful to me that we didn't pursue this thing further down the road, and it maybe ended prematurely because of certain things.
Bill didn't get to do much singing, which...
And Bill loved to sing, and Bill could sing really good harmonies, and
It's interesting that I see here you had some jobs in the summer of 1976 at the Blitz Bar in downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to me is that that's right around the same time the whole new wave rock started in Minneapolis.
Yeah, at the very Blitz much Bar. So. But the thing I remember about the Blitz Bar is the union man coming by checking cards.
Were you union members?
Some remember, were and some weren't. I know
I
Dan
remember
was
him coming. I'm not sure what band I was in, but I remember them coming around once. And they actually stopped you from getting jobs because you had to be paid so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nobody paid any attention to them. They were worthless.
The other thing I remember about the Blitz Bar is that I blew one of my bass cabinets out, and that was the night that all the guys from Straight Up came to see us play.
Oh, really?
And cool. I blew up my bass cabinet that night.
I'm just saying Tom Murray, Straight Up.
Yeah, Tom was there, yeah.
As far as the other musicians who were playing around town at that time period, 75, 76, were there any local musicians that impressed you?
Well, like I said, Straight Up was a great band, and Kane was a great band.
Yeah.
Those guys were probably a couple of the top dogs as far as that kind of music went.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I like to think that Tramp was kind of in the mix there a bit.
Okay. Craig? Dan?
Yes.
Thank you for taking the time to tell us your story about Tramp.
Oh, thank you for being gentle with me.
Thanks, Tom. He's been very gentle.
I'm very sensitive.
The preceding interview was recorded on March 23rd, 2013 at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Danny Johnson and Tom Campbell. The copyright owner of this interview is MiniPaulMusic.com.